There's no raised bread in this household, only raised voices.
I'm like a Nicolaine chandelier, a little ugly, a little sexy, but always over the top.
That took me by surprise. That really took me by surprise. Just the name. And then it's like you picture every single one of LVP's restaurants. They all look like chandelier barns. It doesn't make sense. I'm very excited for what we're about to discuss. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 530 something. I have no idea. And I'm so excited to be joined by one of my absolute favorite guests and people, also known as my Bravoholic bestie. You know him. I don't know that that's a shared mutual description. Kind of.
Yeah.
We're very close. We talk every day. Okay, right. You know him as director.
But who am I?
You know him as director of social for entertainment at Betches Media, host of the amazing podcast Mention It All, and creator of a little, you know, like starter kind of account. I know that you're new to social media. I know that I have been a really great resource for you and how social media works, especially on Instagram and the other social medias that I do not recognize. Also known as the account Bravo by Betches. So welcome back to Andy's Girls. Sweet baby Dill. Dylan Hafer, SBBD.
Hello.
How are we?
You're like, there's no housewives airing, so we will fill the time with intro. Dark days, week two.
Okay, wait. So we need to talk about that for a second. Mm-hmm. How did this happen? I was just on Mention It All, schlepped on over to Betches. You know I love to be there. I would stay there all day if I could. Someone should get me a desk.
I'm honestly, like, I have a meeting in 2 minutes. Sorry, gotta go.
I was like, no, I'm gonna stay. We need to talk more. I've got like 6 hours available. Mm-hmm. Let's discuss. So it was just there. We did talk about this historic, terribly historic moment in time, not since at some point of the Obama administration, has there been zero housewives, housewives on air?
After we spoke about it, I did a little bit of like Wikipedia timeline jumping just to like check my own math, because I knew somebody was going to be like, actually in 2019, there was 1 week where, and so like I went back to 2016 and like connected the dots of each season. And like, there's never been a time where there just wasn't. I mean, there might have been like something took a week off in, you know, Christmas or whatever, but there's never been a time on the calendar in the last like 8+ years of just like, there's not any franchise that's like in the middle of their season at all.
I know that people work at Bravo and I love that for them. I do not understand how this happened when they had four. It must have been that stuff was like delayed so much that they decided to do four franchises on at once at one point and then go to zero. Like, what could explain this?
Yeah, I think the two pieces that seem the strangest now sort of in hindsight are, we had Potomac, Beverly Hills, and Miami all premiere within 2 weeks of each other around the end of October, beginning of November. And Beverly Hills and Miami, for basically their entire seasons, were airing back to back on Wednesday nights. And so I think for a lot of people, myself included, both content creators and fans, it felt like Miami was sort of unfortunately getting a little bit short end of the stick for some of that time, even though it was arguably, or perhaps not even arguably, the better season.
100%.
So I think my first question is, why didn't we hold Miami for maybe a month or so, or even start it in January, especially because they are not currently filming, as far as I know, the seventh season. My other question is, Real Housewives of New Jersey has been in the can since last summer. Why did they not set the premiere date for that just a touch earlier? Like, we could have had Real Housewives of New Jersey premiering, you know, end of March, beginning of April. And then at least we wouldn't have had this complete, you know, barren slot on the schedule. New Jersey's back Sunday the 5th, I think. So it's soon. I mean, we're going to have Jersey soon at the very least, but It's still a strange choice. Obviously, there have been delays and stuff. I mean, we're getting Dubai in June, but then nothing else is like done filming yet. So it's an interesting period. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, today I recorded a podcast episode about NYC prep. We're doing I think it's probably not a coincidence that they chose to open the Bravo vault on Peacock right about now, because, you know, Real Housewives of DC, anyone? But yeah, I mean, it's a strange time. I mean, there has been a good amount of like news and developments and things. It's not like there's been just like nothing happening in the Bravo world. I mean, but it is just like, it's strange. It's weird to look at the calendar and be like, so, Top Chef? I love Top Chef, but like,
it's not the same
thing. It's not Housewives.
And Housewives is the foundation of Bravo. So it's just weird that, I don't know how else to say it, but like, it's weird that they would allow this to happen. They're in control, believe it or not, of the programming schedule. It's just a weird thing to do.
And imagine if the Valley had ended up as bad as we were maybe
expecting,
thinking it might be. And that was like something that we weren't paying attention to. Like, that's, I guess, been lucky. But it does feel like, I've seen a couple people suggest that maybe they sort of did this on purpose to kind of like test the waters of what would Bravo look like if it was less reliant on Housewives. But the thing with that, though, is that I don't feel like they put any special other pieces in place to really like bring out the big non-Housewives guns. I mean, yeah, Vanderpump Rules and Summer House are both airing right now, which are both, you know, long running franchises, but like there's no, you know, Southern Charm news on the horizon. I would think that would be a part of that. There isn't any other than The Valley. There's not some like big new show that they're promoting right now. So it does, that to me is like a little bit of like a, you're like finding a scenario to fit this, you're like finding an explanation to fit the situation, versus like, I don't actually think that the Bravo programming execs were like, you know what if we just don't have Housewives for a month? I don't think anybody, I think that that kind of happened on accident.
When it comes to upcoming franchises, obviously we have New Jersey very, very soon on the horizon, allegedly Dubai. And then what is next? Like, New York is just started filming.
Orange County.
We all want Orange County. Atlanta hasn't started filming yet.
Atlanta to me is like the biggest like miscarriage of justice right now, where it's like this franchise, let's say 5 years ago, was like one of, if not the crown jewel. I mean, it was the top of the ratings for years. It had an extremely consistent slot in the calendar. If you look back at the list of seasons of Atlanta, for something like 8 or 10 years, it always premiered the same weekend in November. It is actually kind of wild to think about that for basically a decade, their calendar was like clockwork down to the week. And obviously, I mean, pandemic, other stuff happened. It's not like this right now is like, you know, one person's fault. But I do think it's really strange that they announced Portia's return now like 2 months ago. And to me, it seems really clear that that must have been the first thing they locked in. Mm-hmm. And they sort of announced it right away, it seems like. And then other than Kenya posting that cute video of her taking the bite out of the peach and being like, I'm not going anywhere, what else is going on? Like, there, it's strange to me that they announced Portia's return without the next steps kind of firmly in place, because now it's been a couple months. We don't know anybody else who's coming back. We don't know any, I haven't even seen rumors of who might be joining the franchise. So it's like, okay, are they filming like anytime soon? Because if we're going to have a show on the air before the end of the year, the clock is ticking. It's about to be May. And, you know, Roni is now filming. I think they were just in the Hamptons for their first sort of getaway of the season. Salt Lake, it looks like, is probably wrapping up. They were just in Mexico. But yeah, it is strange, sort of like the lack of urgency, given the fact that there's like nothing, literally nothing on the air right now, Housewives-wise.
I think Shibai sort of casually did a soft announcement. She has to be back.
At this point, like, I am all for the soft reboot of like, you know, get rid of the on the bubble ladies and like really put some effort into finding some fresh new talent. Obviously, Portia's return is like a major, you know, a major move on their part. But like, Kenya and Sheree aren't the things that weren't working. Like Kenya and Sheree are going to give you some amount of something that we can work with. And at this point, I'd rather have that than like, I don't know, five randos that might not work.
And Sonya, right, announced that she's not back.
I think like Drew did the thing a while ago where she like took it out of her bio, which like doesn't actually mean anything. But like, I mean, popular wisdom seems to be that Drew probably won't be back. Candy obviously not coming back. But yeah, we don't know really, like, you know, we have Portia, Kenya. Even if you assume Sheree is going to be back, like that's still only half a cast. So it's like, there's got to be some news somewhere. And I don't think they'll really, I think they'll make some announcements before they start filming, because the world we live in now, like you can't really film a whole season of Housewives with known figures and not have it just like get out right away.
I think that there are a number of understandable, absolutely crucial reasons why BravoCon isn't happening this year. And I do think that for a lot of us creators, podcasters, whomever, writer girls, whatever, that is a little bit of a relief, because it's just, it is, it's an incredible weekend, but it's just, it's a lot financially, emotionally, spiritually, otherwise.
Remotionally.
Absolutely, remotionally. But I think, you know, while I'm sure there were factors for there, just how much work it takes for like the network and the staff and everything else and the cost, whatever, that it's a lot of planning. I wonder if one of the reasons that they also are doing like this whole bye year is because there aren't a ton of shows. I know that a lot can happen between May and November, but I wonder if that's also a part that like there are a ton of shows where there isn't really a lot to discuss, because we're not necessarily going to have new episodes, certainly not full seasons, by the time BravoCon would have happened in November.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even if most of the shows get to a point where they're either airing or wrapping up filming by November of this year, there's still not a lot of new stuff to discuss since last November. If you've had 6 months off and then filmed a season, but the season's not airing yet, like you still can't really talk about it. And I think that it's a good thing to take the year off. Again, yeah, like you were saying, it's definitely like bittersweet in certain ways. But I think, honestly, it's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like the agriculture word for it, but like when you know how
farming,
you know,
planting
how like
a seed?
How like sometimes you let the crop, like after you've like used the same plot of soil, you like let it kind of replenish for a year.
Totally, I know all about it.
Whatever. I think like we're kind of letting the Bravo soil get fertile again.
Okay.
And then when we go back in 2025, or when someone goes back in 2025, who knows if I'll be there. It's like, yeah, there'll be a little bit more fresh stuff to get into, whether it's new cast members, whether it's new shows, whether it's just the same people talking about new developments that have happened in the past 2 years. I was just talking yesterday to somebody about how that gap between the first BravoCon in 2019 and the one in 2022, obviously that was, you know, in large part because of the pandemic that they took 2 years off, but the one in 2022 felt really exciting, and it felt like something new. And then obviously last year was different because it was in Vegas for the first time. And, you know, it still was only the third time they had done it. They're still kind of figuring certain parts out. But like, I think that taking the year off will allow people to miss it a little bit. And of course, like, we're privileged to have been at all three BravoCons that they've done. I know there are a ton of people who haven't been to any that are like, I was going to try and go this year. So I don't want to like just sit up on my like, you know, like media pass like pedestal and be like, honestly, I was sick of going. But I do think like there are benefits, even if you are sad that you won't get to go this year. I think in terms of the experience that it will be, I think there are benefits to taking a year off.
Yeah. And the thing with Vegas, and I will go to my grave talking about how much I hate Las Vegas as a destination, but the thing about it was so well organized.
Yeah, it was a better event in Vegas.
Yeah, it was maybe my, although nothing could ever beat 2019, just because we did not know if we were walking into a shit show, and then it turned out it was like absolute heaven on earth. Like no one knew what to expect because we'd never experienced it
with
before.
Like a sprinkle of shit show, but just the right amount.
Exactly. Aside from that Vanderpump Rules party, it was honestly kind of certainly absolutely magical. And so I think that, like, you know, taking the year off, there are an abundant number of reasons why that is a good idea. But I do just also have this general feeling of, like, yearning right now when mm-hmm. it comes to Bravo. Like, they're not feeding me. And even though I have gone through, I think, two seasons of the Zoe Project in, like, 36 hours, I just need... I just need more.
You're literally not being fed.
I think, bananas.
Well, I think also, I mean, I don't want to speak for anyone, but the sense I get from some of the Bravo talent might be that also BravoCon is a lot for them.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, a lot is expected of them in, like, a physical, literal sense of what they're doing all weekend, but also just, like, the energy that is required to, like, go be with thousands of people that are, like, you know, screaming when they see you walk past for 3 days. I mean, it's a lot. A lot of these people have kids. A lot of these people are, you know, I think on their end too, the year off will allow them to miss it. And hopefully in 2025, everybody will be really excited to see each other, both, like, fans and Bravo celebrities.
So speaking of excitement, I know that you and I are very excited about Orange County, that mm-hmm. like, the energy is right. The chaos is mm-hmm. right. It's going to be so intense, so wild. I have kind of a random question for you, but she's just been everywhere on social and it's complicated. I just think she's kind of complicated. How do you currently feel about Tamra and Tamra's work on Housewives, the housewife that she created for herself, has become, might be again? Like, what's your current relationship to her?
You know what's funny is I feel like I have not thought about Tamra lately.
Oh, really?
Almost at all.
It's been on my mind a lot.
I know. I saw her respond to some tweet today about Shannon not wanting Vicky to film last season. You know, she's very, like, in the replies and...
She's commenting and, like, calling them a joke.
Yeah, which is... It's interesting because they've been filming and you would think that maybe, like, during filming, if any time, would be the time that you would be kind of, like, the least paying attention to mm-hmm. what people are saying on social media. I think that Tamra, you know, I think she's on the Mount Rushmore. I think that she
is. Is she?
Well,
maybe there's a second mountain.
If you look from a certain angle, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like one of those, like, hologram things where it's like
Love
you
it.
See one set and then
it's
you
Teresa,
like.
But it's actually Tam. Yeah, into that.
I think in terms of housewives who have, like, understood the assignment, I think that she is up there. I think that this, like, second act for her since she came back last season is obviously still being written. I think that last season was, I really enjoyed Orange County last season. I think that she maybe needs to be a little bit careful in the sense that now she is not the only one who understands how the game works. Whereas in season, like, 4 of Orange County, not very many people understood the game that was being played. Like, they were sort of like the pieces that someone else was moving. And I think there are, whether or not they're doing it successfully, I think there are a lot more women on Bravo now who are attempting to make their own strategic moves. But I mean, I really enjoyed last season. Like, I mean, like we said, I'm very excited for this season. And I don't really have any, like, negative feeling about Tamra at this moment. I mean, we'll watch the season. She might end up being a monster, but I don't know.
I know that, I guess, Vicky and Shannon on their Dos Amigas tour. Dos Amigas, but it's so funny to me. They're down to two. But I guess at a recent performance, Vicky was, like, leading the crowd into, like, fuck Tamra, or, like, fuck you Tamra chance.
Yeah.
And Tamra didn't love that energy and was essentially commenting on a post about it, saying, in essence, like, you need me to, like, have content.
I was just thinking about that. Like, it's an interesting question to consider, and as I say that, I have not considered it, so I don't know. But, like, would Vicky's Housewives tenure have been as long, successful, impactful, however you want to say it, if Tamra hadn't been in the equation? It's impossible. I mean, it's impossible to know because we don't know what that show would have looked like for 13 seasons without Tamra. But, like, it is really interesting. Like, you can't really separate their journeys from each other, I don't think.
I mean, family vans everywhere are screeching to a halt. What, you don't think that Vicky would have? How so? How?
I just, in the sense that by the time, Tamra was already there when the show became really what it was going to become. Mm-hmm. And so I think that in terms of the like modern Housewives show, you can't really know what it would have looked like. I think that Tamra was really instrumental in sort of like ushering in the like Real Housewives era. Those first few seasons of OC, if you go back and watch, are like very different, not that exciting, and like a lot more sort of like family funny like home video vibes than like this is a group of women who are gonna like backstab each other. And I think Tamra was kind of like, she like threw the first brick in a way. And so I think
I'm just thinking episode title, Tamra Judge the first brick in Stonewall, and now I can't get that out of my head.
It's not Pride yet. But yeah, so I just think like in terms of like the show that Vicky was on for so long wouldn't have been that show without Tamra. And I, you know, if you're like a Queen Vicky OG of the OC stan, I'm not saying that that means Vicky like wouldn't have been good TV or like had a job for that many years. I just think like, I think that our whole experience of Orange County as a franchise would have been different.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing me with free samples. Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. It delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Living in New York City is not easy. Just ask Sonia trying to sell that house. There are so many mornings where I wake up and think, oh my gosh, I'm having the worst cold of my life. And I realize it's actually from allergies. When my nasal allergies flare up, and that happens when the season changes and the temps get a little warmer than they normally are, I use Astapro, and I'm amazed at how fast I'm back in the game. And that game is looking for Dorinda on the Upper East Side. Astapro always has my back and nose. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Ro Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today. In the words of Meredith Marks, when it comes to that week, week and a half before my period, I wish I was disengaging. My PMS is off the charts. Truly, Uber Eats needs to check in and say, it's about that time, isn't it? I know it is. The cravings are crazy. I want to crawl out of my skin. Now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For AGs who are friends of perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, Happy Mammoth has Hormone Harmony. It's not just a supplement for women going through those stages. It's also become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I'm engaging.
I think it was so important that Tamra got fired when she did. And it was because I think she needed to. I think she had become just too hardened in what she was producing and self-producing. Yes. It became too much and difficult to watch. And I'm so thankful she's back now because she is obviously incredible at her job. It's just tough for me because I don't think of anyone to trust. I think she's the least trustworthy, which makes her a great housewife. But like when she says, I apologize, I want to be a friend, I don't think she believes it. I think she believes in doing a good job and she really does consider this her job. But a part of the job is like being vulnerable, having real stakes. It's kind of hard for me as someone who, as we know, hashtag stands for Shan. It's just kind of hard because the structure of the show is like at a certain point, you guys need to forgive each other so we can move forward in storyline. But I'm thinking in the back of my head, like you cannot ever trust her. She's always going to fuck with you. Because she needs to stay on the show, or maybe because she's inherently toxic. I don't think it's that.
Yeah, I think it's the kind of thing where like everybody thinks that they are gonna like outfox the fox until they realize that they got played. And it's like almost pretty much everyone on the show at some point has had that moment where Tamra shines her light on them and they're like, oh yeah, like maybe we could do a little team up. I'm like wanting to slip into my Gina Kirshenhider voice as we speak. But like, Tam, like you think you're meeting on an even playing field and it's like, oh yeah, like we're going to have an alliance. But really, Tamara's using you. It's like, it's not an alliance. It's like one person, it's like one person knowing that they can get that person to go along with them. And so I don't know. We'll see. this season, it's Alexis. Let's see how it goes.
And Tamra obviously is like very much tripling down on the Alexis of it all.
Yeah. I mean, because the Alexis of it all, like we haven't seen a single second of footage and everybody's like, it's going to be iconic. Like shaking in my boots.
I think she's going to be a mess, but that doesn't mean that's a bad thing. But I had hope for her. And it's unfortunate to watch her go the way of like caricature in order to get screen time. I don't think that was necessary.
For the record, I was always an Alexis Bellino apologist. Not in the sense that I like agreed with her or like thought, you know, she was like making the right choices, but I always really enjoyed her on the show. And so like I'm happy that she's back because I think she's good TV. I don't know if that's going to lead to her like having a long and prosperous second life on Housewives. It might be like a one season, like, you know, I'm thinking of that girlfriend Ashley that Thomas Ravenel had on Southern Charm, that one season where she like she came on, she made a mark, and we've been trying to scrub it out ever since. But yeah, I mean, like I'm excited for what it's going to be, and it might be a flash in the pan, and then we'll hopefully find something else to put in the pan next season.
I don't even know if it's going to be a flash in the pan. I just think for like long-term sustainability, I think she could have found herself back and really, really back.
Yes.
And by doing this whole John Jansen thing, it just feels so fleeting and temporary and like such a plot drama grab that she could have been smarter. I want her to work smarter.
Yeah. I mean, you're so right about her. I mean, I don't know if casting would have chosen her, but literally since Heather Dubrow came back to the show, anybody who asked her, is there anyone else you would bring back? She always said Alexis. She was like, yeah, actually, believe it or not, Alexis and I are like a little bit friendly. You know, we both have LGBTQ experiences with our kids. Like, they have this kind of like, considering their relationship the first time around, this sort of like unlikely, you know, camaraderie with each other that was predating John Jansen, predating Alexis being back on the show. And so like, there definitely was a world in which Alexis like was back in the mix without this. Maybe it just wouldn't have been as prominently or as now. I don't know.
And while I do believe Heather Dubrow and what she said about Alexis, I do think a part of that too was like her not wanting Tamara back. So do you want to have back is like not Tamara. So let's go. Alexis is a safer choice.
Yeah, it's like, well, not Tamara. Megan King doesn't live here anymore.
Oh my God, I miss Megan King. I need to go back and rewatch some of the, I don't know,
she's
some of the
Brooks busy
cancer
being
era.
A mom in St. Louis.
Being a mom. I think she's a realtor now too, maybe.
She's had a lot of jobs.
And the
candles.
The Biden era, that the 2 hours that she was married to Biden's nephew or whatever the fuck. That was wild. Like the president of the United States.
Went to her wedding.
I can't even talk about it. I can't even talk about it. Mm-hmm. The president of the United States went to Megan King Edmonds. That should not happen. Like that. That's like you're messing with history. It's like something Back to the Future, where if you just adjust that, everything changes.
It feels like one of those like Twitter meme trends where like if you missed the original thing and you see just like an iteration of it, it's like Mad Libs. And so it's like if you just showed somebody a tweet that said Joe Biden was at Meghan King's wedding, it's like, wait, sorry, like what was the original joke? It's like right now it's like the Taylor Swift, like you wouldn't last a hour in the asylum where they raised me. And it's like, you know, Monica Lewinsky tweeted it with a picture of the White House. It's like a Taylor Swift lyric.
Okay, so I saw, because I'm not on TikTok or anything. So I saw the Monica Lewinsky thing and like the asylum. I was like, oh, LOL, I get it, because it's like an asylum or something and like the White House and it's Monica saying it. So I was like, yay, go Monica. But I didn't know that was a
trend. You haven't dipped into the tortured poets department yet.
I've listened to it multiple times.
It's like a lyric from the...
Oh, but I don't remember any of that.
That's okay.
Yeah. I like that energy.
It's 31 songs. You're good. I'm not going to be like, you did it. Stream it.
Speaking of not quite an asylum, but maybe a tortured poets. What is it again? Tortured Poet Society?
Department.
Whatever. I've listened to it so many times. Genuinely. Fortnite? Is that what's called?
A video game.
What? No. What's the
Oh, there's a song. Fortnite? Yeah, there's a song. I'm like, they just made a TV show out of it.
Whatever. That's the first song I'm really into. I've listened to that over and over again. I'm doing a great job of being a Swiftie, by the way. It's not going to happen. I just don't know
Please
enough
to do it.
Please
welcome Maddie Healy to the office.
But speaking of just kind of thinking about historic recent past and a little bit of a tortured poet department, Sonia Morgan, some news on Page Six is auctioning off, that's the important word there, her beloved New York City townhouse next month. This is per Page Six. After 11 years on and off the market, there is some fucking auction that's going to happen on May 29th with some broker or whatever. And there's no minimum. So anybody who watched Buying Beverly Hills this season will know all about all things auction, because that was a huge, huge point of drama unrelated to Kyle. That was actually like interesting to watch. So beginning bids are expected to range from $1.75 million to $3.75 million. So that's just original beginning bids. Hopefully there are other bids, considering the fact that she originally listed Chateau Sonia Rita, the Sexy J estate, for like $10 million.
Yeah, I think I read it was listed up until this week or last week, it was listed at 7.5. So
woof.
The fact that, I mean, obviously nobody offered her 7.5. I think safe to say,
or maybe four.
Safe to say nothing at 7.5. And given the fact that it's been 11 years, safe to say that there wasn't anything super close to 7.5. So it is, I mean, it's kind of wild that for a townhouse on the Upper East Side, the starting bid is expected to be 1.75 million. I mean, I know that that's a lot of money. I'm not in the market for it.
But it's missing the zero.
But like, for the piece of property that it is, something is awry.
I mean, could it be a teardown? Like, what's the vibe here? Because I feel like the feedback is probably that it's relatively dated, but can't you fucking fix that? Is it really that it's next to a parking garage? Like, what
right.
is the problem?
I mean, I think that the parking garage location might remove it from the list of buyers that are like, have a ton of money and could buy anything. Like, that might not, you know, but it's strange. I mean, I don't know enough about the like real estate, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it is just strange. I mean, if you're buying it at like a severe discount like that, then you could use some of the money to just like do the renovations yourself. Like I don't know. I mean, I really hope that this can end up as something even a little bit positive for Sonia. I mean, even if it ends up selling for a few million, she's going to have some amount of change that she's taking away from that. I just like, God, I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about this earlier and like, this is the first time in like a really long time that I don't think she has any show, you know, in the cooker. There's no girls trip. There's no legacy. There's no, I don't know if Crappy Lake is going to go again. Even if it does, that's a, you know, a limited thing. Like, I don't know what her kind of like, next steps are. I think she's still doing some of her cabaret-esque improv. Sorry, Sonia in your city. but like, right. It's like, what is the ceiling realistically? She does very well on Cameo. We know that. But like, what is the ceiling on kind of like her Sonia Rita endeavors at this point? Like, I mean, she definitely needs this money.
This is one of those things. I know it's not the same for existing current housewives who are, on the show and like, listen, not being able to film for a year. If your show takes a year off, that's money that you were expecting in the bag. That's like no longer happening, or at least it's going to be delayed. That affects things. That's allegedly why Shannon asked John Jansen for money or a loan or whatever, because the production was being slow and she was having some like cash issues. So she asked him for a couple shekels. Like with Sonia, she had to sell her, you know, a state in the south of France after this, the whole movie John Travolta situation didn't
the yada yada
right.
Yeah,
yada yada. And now I just kind of, I look at that and this is like the reality facing maybe a lot or a significant number of housewives of like, what do I do next? Sonia's a very, very specific example because of the life she used to have with her ex-husband. But this was like her number one piece of, her only piece of property. This was supposed to be her retirement. Like to think that it might go for a couple million dollars and she still has to figure out where she's going to live. It's not like she's getting $3 million or $4 million and that's in the bank. Like she needs to live somewhere. If she's intending to stay in New York, mm-hmm. that's not an insignificant amount of money. Maybe she won't buy property again. That might not be a bad idea, but it just makes me kind of sad to think about this being the end for her.
Yeah, we're going to see...
Or for the house, at least, not for her.
We're going to see Sonia at a lot of, like, wellness retreat, spa kind of places where she's, like, posting a picture and, like, conspicuously tagging the place and being like, thank you for such a lovely stay. I kid, but there have been times, off seasons, let's say, in the past, where she was kind of bopping around from like free trip to free trip. And I don't think that was a coincidence necessarily. Because I mean, she had over the last several years, she has rented out her townhouse a lot of the time. That hasn't been her full-time residence in, you know, definitely not like full-time in a while. So that's been like a source of income for her by renting it out, or at least a source of, not spending. But yeah, I mean, look, like I think I like Sonia a lot, and I hope she's
okay. It's like she's
well. Also, it's like it's not like she's like an 80-year-old woman that it's like okay, she's gonna make a couple million dollars and just kind of like ride off
the new 36. I don't know, but like
she's not gonna like ride off into the sunset. Sonia's like in her 50s still.
80 to me is like you're probably thinking about retirement. Sonia is not in a position where she can afford to retire at this point.
Right, not without a large lump sum or a.
Where's she gonna get it?
She's not. Well, it is interesting, though, to think about, and I don't want to go like too far down this path. I just want to like note it that it's like her Sonia and her daughter live such different lives.
I knew you were going to do it. And I was trying to avoid it. If you saw it in my eye, I was like, don't mention the child.
Like, sorry. No, like I've met.
It's not Great Gardens. I just want to say that.
Right. Like I've met Quincy.
Seems incredible.
I follow Quincy on TikTok. Love. She does little like Quincy.
She's an artist, right?
Not like for work.
Oh,
that's Luann's daughter.
No. I thought Quincy was an artist, a painter.
Quincy like maybe paints. She isn't like trying to make a living as a painter. She has a real job. Well, no, she has like a office job. But she.
I feel like to shout out the painting that my aunt, who is a literal artist,
no. Quincy.
You mean Quincy
has like a. She has
nine
like
nine to five, not a creative.
Yes, she's
job.
Like a young professional.
Right.
But she.
We support the arts. Yes. We're both.
I'm a BFA in musical theater. We both went to musical theater. I make memes for a living. But Quincy will post like little TikToks of just like, she does like normal TikTok stuff, just like kind of like, get ready with me, or like, you know, I like this lip balm. And it's like, Quincy is like doing fine. Let's just say.
Well, yeah. And
she acknowledges that her mom is Sonia Morgan. Like people have like commented and she's like, yeah, my mom's Sonia. But like she is like not necessarily like aspiring to like the like sexy J like vibe.
That's not what I was thinking. What I was thinking was like when it comes to support.
Well, yeah.
And stuff. How is that all going to work?
It's like,
she's not responsible for it, but I do think this is all a very gray, not Grey Gardens, but just a gray area.
Right. Like, are we going to see Quincy buy a nice house in the next few years and Sonia just like lives in the pool house? Like,
yeah.
That wouldn't be a bad outcome for Sonia.
Yeah, I also don't know what kind of restrictions Sonia's ex put on whatever multiple trusts that Quincy has. Is it Quincy? Yeah, it's Quincy.
Yeah, Quincy.
Like, I don't know how that works. He does seem relatively vengeful.
Like, mommy can't stay in the pool house for more than a week at a time.
For real. And also, but he also may feel like, we had a nice settlement. You had many millions of dollars and you ruined it. And I mean that in the most loving way.
You pissed it away.
The most loving way. Listen, John Travolta, you gotta hop on those opportunities when they happen. So, I just worry for Sonia.
At least Sonia didn't get into Scientology. Sorry, you said John Travolta and I couldn't.
She might have.
She gave them a few dollars in the 90s.
Didn't she though? It's like, how am I bankrupt all of a sudden? And
she's like, well, I got my Reiki healer, she's like, I got my acupuncture girl, I got my Scientology expert.
I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels
heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Waves Anti-Frizz Cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Waves' other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to THEOUAI.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's THEOUAI.com with promo code Andy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Wait, if we are going to talk about Scientology for 1 second, because this has not come up in conversation.
I'm so sorry.
So what the fuck is her name?
Rebecca Minkoff,
who I have heard of since you and I were babies in the early aughts, because I remember
those
her
fringy
name,
little handbags,
which I have never liked. Not once. I never understood her. But God bless people who enjoy her, a fan, whatever. So she signs up to do Housewives of New York. I was like,
reportedly. Oh.
No, I mean, it's happening. She's like posted photos of her with a camera crew behind her. It's like, who else? I don't think it's CNN. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think she's on the show. So people were like, oh my God, Rebecca Minkoff, because that's an interesting, and also the Jenna of it all, that kind of gives her someone to talk about dumb fashion. I mean, I love, who are we making fun?
Yeah, I mean, between Psy and Jessel and Jenna, like there's a fashion slant already to the show. Yeah.
So like they can talk about like merchandising and things, and God bless them for that. But turns out, which I had no idea about because I haven't been following Rebecca Minkoff's day to day. She is a proud long-term, I don't know if she's second generation or what.
At least second generation.
Okay, well, we love a legacy. A Scientologist. My question to you is, who do you think is going to be the one to volunteer as tribute and be like, let's have a long conversation about Scientology and I'm going to put on HBO while we talk? Who's gonna put on the show?
So I really want it to be Brynn.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be Brynn.
I really worry that it's gonna be no one.
I think everyone's gonna be too afraid short term that they're not gonna think about the long term, which is like you need to ask her about Xenu immediately, stat.
Right. Like, I don't think the same producers that are like, oh my God, yay, Rebecca, are also gonna be like, Jessel, ask Rebecca about Scientology.
Someone needs to do, it's not going to be Jessel. It's not going to be Jenna.
I could see it being Jessel.
Really?
I could see Jessel pulling like a, doing like a, so Rebecca. So I heard something, I saw something online that was really interesting to me. Can you talk to me a little bit about Scientology? Is it there? Is it up and coming? An up and coming religion? Is it a religion? So is that a church? But you're Jewish.
But it can't be, tell me more about this. It needs to be someone being like, have you heard of Leah Remini? Like, have you read
Where
Lawrence
is Shelley
Wright?
Miscavige?
Where is Shelley? Like, I need someone to push back a little bit. It's just, we're never going to get it with Elizabeth Moss. We need not to.
She has a new Hulu show coming out like next week.
Does she?
Yeah, she does.
Oh, I'll 100% watch it. I live. I started randomly rewatching episodes of Handmaid's Tale, which is not a rewatchable show. It's so bleak. It's so dark. But I feel like so someone needs to do, we cannot do the cursory like, and it brought you with your family closer and it helped you with work or whatever. Like, I need someone to push back a little bit on this. Just a little bit. And a little bit, I mean all season long. Just a little bit. One wild dinner.
One wild dinner.
One wild dinner. Name of the episode.
It's not going to be Psy.
It's not going to be at Jenna's apartment, I'll tell you that much. She's like limiting access to everything related to her life. It's not going to be Aaron, I think. And it's, oh, you know what? It could be Uba.
Uba.
Uba is.
What? Okay, what if Uba's Uba? The one. What if Uba? I could see Uba playing the card of like, I didn't know anything about Scientology, and then somebody sent something to me, and I was Googling it, and it seems really bad.
Like children sign up for billion-year contracts.
Like, I like the
they're paid.
Because the thing is,
they're
okay.
Abused. They're set in the hole or whatever.
I feel like Uba could approach it from a way of like,
yeah,
we just met and you seem really cool, but this seems really bad. So like, can you explain that to me?
Also, that's, I mean,
it could
listen,
be Uba. It's going to be no one. It's going to be no one.
And there have been sort of awkward, uncomfortable conversations that have gone in a way that is relatively clunky when it comes to Real Housewives and questions about religion, culture, and everything else. Certainly cultures that might be different to other members of the cast or that other members of the cast have difficult histories with. I mean, I think of Heather Gay talking about Church of Latter-day Saints and like the conversation with Lisa and everything else. Like there can be uncomfortable.
I think of Carlton hacking into Kyle's
God, I can't.
MacBook screensaver.
To put a X.
So the words that were coming up were creepy.
Bring back Carl. Don't bring back Carlton. It's no, we can't go.
She's on Real Housewives of Atlanta now. Yay, Carlton Jebbia.
Yeah, I feel like it could go somewhere, but might not.
Yeah, I'm not gonna think about it that hard for right now. I did a whole like spiral after her like casting news came out last week, and it's like we're not going to see the show for 6 months, so I'm not going to like stress. I'm not going to be mad for 6 months about what the way they may or may not talk about this. I'm just like, okay, we'll see.
Speaking of things to discuss, you did just get back from a little bit of a schlep.
I did.
You went to Lake Tahoe, a lake in Tahoe. To tell me about who were you there to see. How was that experience?
So I got invited on a press trip to the grand opening of Wolf by Vanderpump at Harvey's Lake Tahoe Hotel and Casino in Stateline, Nevada.
Wow, what a line.
I know. I'm like, I have to. Harvey's Lake Tahoe. Yeah, no. So it was a lovely trip. It was honestly like so fun. It was a good group of people. I was really lucky to be there. They took really good care of us. But of course, I was like, you get the email that it's like, invite. Would you like to come to this place and like come to this event at this restaurant? I'm like, yeah, I would. So we went to Lake Tahoe. So Lisa has opened up. It's her third restaurant with Caesars Entertainment because she has the two in Vegas at Caesars Palace and at Paris.
And wait, so, what? It's Vanderpump Cocktail Garden. What's the other one?
Vanderpump à Paris.
Oh,
at Paris, Las Vegas.
Got it.
So, they have this partnership going now where it's, you know, she gives her name. She is creatively involved. She and Nicolaine are doing all the decor and everything. And so, yeah, they opened up their third place together at this. It's a Caesars property, Harvey's Lake Tahoe. And so they redesigned this whole space. I'm told that before the space that this restaurant is in was like a casino buffet. Mm-hmm. So they have really, really redesigned it. So we saw it on this season of Vanderpump Rules when they were in Lake Tahoe. And it was like essentially like an empty space. They were like hammering into drywall. Tom Sandoval was like letting his feelings out into the wall. Ugh. But yeah, so we were there. There was a grand opening party. Garcelle was there. The whole Vanderpump Villa cast was there.
Okay. Haven't watched a second of it. Have you watched it?
A couple episodes. Yeah, we were working with them with Betches. So I was paying attention to it before it was even on. But yeah, so they were there. The Vanderpump Rules cast was not. So I think the Vanderpump Villa cast was definitely it was like cast field trip kind of vibe. Like they were all like brought there. I think Vanderpump Rules was definitely invited, but it's a schlep from LA. Like it's I think an 8-hour drive, so whatever. They weren't there. But Lisa was there, Ken was there, they had a couple of dogs there, Pandora and Max were there. It was funny because Pandora, I learned this past week that like Pandora's kind of like her like business right hand. Like she's very involved in all the restaurant stuff. She was in France the whole time when they were shooting the villa show. She said I talked to her at the, you know, in Tahoe. And she said that she and like her husband and son had been in Tahoe for the last like 7 weeks while they were getting everything ready. Like, she was basically like the one on the ground. Like, Lisa would like come in for certain stuff.
Yeah, but she was project managing. Yeah, whatever, but she was representing the family.
Yeah. And so I was kind of impressed because I'm like, oh, good. Like, Pandora, like, is like working.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I think that's cool that she's not just like kind of has some like, I don't know, like,
no, she's
fake
like,
job.
Right.
But the place is kind of like amazing. Like, it's kind of beautiful. They did a really good job. The Nicolaine aesthetic is what it is. Like, if it's not for you, it's not for you. I have kind of made fun of it in the past, particularly at the Paris location. It's a little bit like the combination of like Vanderpump Elaine ex France, quote unquote, was like a little bit silly to me. Mm-hmm. But something about the wolf one, it kind of clicked. There's like a little bit of like antler vibe. There are like stone wolves like perched over the bar. It just is like, it's like Nicolaine describes his style as romantic industrial.
Oh yeah, that actually does describe it.
And then there's like a little bit of just like a rustic like angle to it. And yeah. I'm like, it's kind of clicking. I don't know. The place looks good. It's bigger than any of her other, definitely than any of her Caesars places. Probably, I would say it's probably bigger than the ones in LA too. But yeah, it's really nice. And the food and drinks were actually really good, which was, I won't say the same about all of her establishments. So,
I mean, I like what her design, I think her aesthetic is interesting and cool and romantic and sexy. Like, I genuinely like the way that her restaurants look because I think it's theatrical.
Yes.
And I'm into theatrical, but the food is like abysmal. So I don't know.
Yeah, the food that
I would go take a photo and then like leave.
The food that we had was really good. So they did. So the grand opening party was like the one night. And then the next day they did a brunch for us where they had like a menu of a lot of the different stuff, you know, on the normal menu, but they had like, you know, preset for us. And they also brought out like 8 or 9 different cocktails that are on the menu. And so we tried a lot of stuff. You know, it was honestly like everything that I had was really good. The cocktails are like very over the top, but like good in like it's not like when you go to what's the restaurant? Oh, like Sugar Factory that like the Kardashians would always do with like the like fish bowls with like rubber ducks and stuff. It's like not it isn't giving that, which like I think that's kind of the concern that it's like, what is this like over the top purple Vanderpump drink going to be? And it's like, it's called the Jiggy Tonic and it was delicious. No, but like I got invited to go on this trip, but like, you know, I can say whatever I want about it. And like, I was very ready to be like a hater of the restaurant as I've been a hater of some of her other restaurants. And I'm like, no, I'd go back. I had a good time. It was fun.
So if you ever find yourself in Lake Tahoe,
totally
this is a place to go.
Totally. And it's interesting. So in Lake Tahoe, I didn't know this until I was like getting ready to go there. So Lake Tahoe is on the line. It's on the border of Nevada and California.
Okay.
And so in the like South Lake Tahoe area, the border like goes past there. And so all of the casinos are on the Nevada side of the border because casinos aren't legal for the most part in California. Mm-hmm. So like where Lisa's restaurant is, it's in like the front part of the casino. So you literally like walk out the door and cross the street and you're in California. So it's like,
wow,
it's literally like on the border. And so there's like a ski resort and stuff that's like on the California side. But even if you were staying there, it would be like not more than a 5-minute walk to Lisa's restaurant. So that's what I'm like, that was something that I realized there. I'm like, you could totally not, like, you don't have to like stay in the casino if you want to go eat at Lisa's restaurant. You could stay like anywhere at Tahoe, especially if you have a car. You could just like go there for dinner.
But it's not worth that much of a schlep. I mean,
well, not just for that, but people go, I mean, Lake Tahoe is fucking gorgeous. It's like,
yeah, that's true.
It's like a vacation destination.
True.
And it's, I think it definitely feels like Lisa's spot compared to some of the other like restaurants and stuff is like a little bit of a level up.
And sometimes you just don't have the time to go to Lake Havasu. We've seen that countless times in Orange County, that sometimes you just got to make Tahoe happen. I guess.
Yeah. It's no, it was nice. I mean, like, I would go back to Lake Tahoe for like my own vacation. And like, if I was there, I'd have dinner at Wolf by Vanderpop.
And did you have a chance to chat with her at all?
A little bit, yeah. So at the brunch, she was like around. Some of the people on the trip had like arranged for interview time with her. Personally, I was like, I'm okay. Like, I don't know. Well, because it's like she's not on like.
What's there to talk about?
Yeah, exactly.
I have another question about Kyle.
Right. And it's like, yeah. I wrote about the restaurant. I talked about it on my own podcast. Like, I didn't really have a desire to like chit chat with her for 10 minutes about the restaurant. But like, she was there. Yeah, she looked great. She was like losing her voice a little bit, which like, aren't we all? But yeah, she was great. They have a new dog that I hadn't seen before. They had a big Samoyed dog, like one of those big white fluffy ones that was kind of like... He felt like the mascot for the weekend, and like Max was kind of like the handler, which was like just like a fun visual.
What was that dog's name? Jiggy Jr.?
I don't know, actually. There were a few dogs there. Okay. There was one, because at one point during the party, I looked down and like there's a table next to me, and like one of the like small puppy dogs had just been like plopped on a table and was just sitting there like,
oh my God.
It was kind of a wild experience, but I mean, if you got offered a free trip to Lake Tahoe to go see Lisa Vanderpump, you say yes.
And what do you think about Lisa's future? I mean, she's sort of on Vanderpump Rules, right? The name of the show is still named after her.
Yeah, it's been interesting to me this season. I feel like they have leaned away from... They sort, because it's been a few seasons now since any of them, like, quote unquote, really worked at Sur. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when they first moved in that direction, they were sort of overcompensating with how much Lisa seemed to be like, you know, kind of pretend involved in their personal lives. And it feels like they've now settled into a little bit more of a relaxed rhythm where it's like, you know, we have certain conversations with Lisa, or we'll like, you know, Lala's having her sperm donor party at Lisa's house. And it's like, you know, it feels like she's kind of more, it honestly feels a little bit of a more realistic relationship that you might have with sort of like an older mentor figure in your life, kind of, or like a former boss that you were close to, where it's like, oh yeah, we like catch up sometimes if I need advice on something. Maybe she's somebody that I would speak to, but like, she's not their boss, she's not their mom. It's like, it feels like they've settled into a little bit more of a natural rhythm of like how much it makes sense to have Lisa around. And obviously like Scandoval was its own sort of like thing where Lisa was like, I don't know, almost like ring, like directing traffic a little bit, but it makes me glad that I feel like Lisa does not seem to be like inserting herself more than she needs to be. And it's like, as long as that show stays on, she has that EP credit,
right?
I don't think she really needs more screen time. And something like Vanderpump Villa, I know that you haven't watched it yet, but like that I think is a more like, that show is designed around her. Whereas like Vanderpump Rules has evolved away from like needing her. I think in Vanderpump Villa, it's like, you're all working for me at this house. And that show wouldn't exist in any other format because it's not about just like these people's lives. She also has a new show that she's doing with Gordon Ramsay, I think.
What?
I think that's on Hulu too. Okay. And so like, I feel like she's evolving kind of into a little bit more of like a television personality phase of her career, and like her hospitality you know background kind of is like more informing the projects that she's doing, which I think is probably a good longer term lucrative direction for her. Because I mean, if you think of somebody like Gordon Ramsay as a little bit of a blueprint, I mean, how many fucking TV shows has he had? Wow. And you know, we ate at a Gordon Ramsay restaurant next door to Lisa's when we were in Lake Tahoe. Like, that's how you build an empire. It's not by being on Vanderpump Rules for 10 seasons and like, you know, teasing if you might come back to Housewives someday.
Right. It was interesting. You know, there is this a little bit of a delicate dance that has existed on VPR over the years of what happens if and when a cast member dares to criticize Lisa. Like, we saw that a little bit with Ariana in seasons past of like, I haven't necessarily been as close to Lisa as others, and like sort of towing that line of like having some criticism about her. And what I thought was really interesting on the new episode, I don't even remember if it was VPR or The Valley, because Jax was on both episodes, But when he was talking about the fact that like Lisa has favorites and he and Brittany had a baby and like didn't hear jack shit from her and didn't get a gift from her, which I was genuinely shocked by until, according to Jack, so who even knows what the truth is, until right after something public came out where he said in an interview or whatever that she hadn't even sent a gift. That I was surprised by, genuinely.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting just in the sense of like on Vanderpump Rules, the show, it has always felt like they are like Lisa's children in a way. And so like, you know, having, I think having favorites is different than playing favorites, maybe, that it's like, I think it's like a natural human thing to have a more of an affinity for certain people. Like if there's, you know, 12 losers that you're forced to spend time with, chances are a couple of them you're going to like less than the others. But like, it is interesting in that sort of concrete of a way that it's like, you would almost think sending like a baby shower gift or whatever would sort of be just like something her assistant just checks off a list. It's like sending the Christmas cards. Like you just have the list, and you would think that at the very least, everybody who's like been on this show that is like your thing would just like be on the list.
I genuinely, but like,
it could be the most impersonal gift, yeah. But like you send the, I don't know, the like flower arrangement or whatever it is for the baby.
I was genuinely surprised that there wasn't like a bigger, more formal acknowledgement of it, because it is a big deal, you know, that they had their first kid, and Jax was one of the reasons that Vanderpump Rules really, really hit. And it's just, it was surprising to me that seemingly after he was no longer on the show, I mean, like, how upset genuinely was she when he called it his show? Like, maybe that was a real thing.
I think, yeah, that's an interesting thing, because obviously, like, he left the show. We never saw him.
Fired.
Yeah, we never saw him on the show. There wasn't like a next season where they talked about it.
Right.
So like, it is interesting. Like Lisa never really had to decide how much she like space she wanted to give him or whatever after that, until he's like, I don't know, reappeared like as like former Sir employee Jax this season. So I don't know. I mean, I think she's in a really good spot. Like, actual career wise, I don't know what that means for her on Bravo. I was interested to note that I'm pretty sure she's not an executive producer on The Valley. So like,
but that makes sense to me.
It makes sense, but I noted it. Yeah. That it's like that show wouldn't exist without Vanderpump Rules. I think it's fair to say, because you know, that show wouldn't exist without us knowing Jackson, Brittany, and Kristen. And so like, you know, if that's the direction that more of the group evolves in or whatever, away from Vanderpump Rules, like Lisa doesn't have a piece of that as far as I know. She might somewhere, but
it is a little bit of a to be continued. I don't know. I mean, we started the episode by talking about sort of the present state of Bravo, and like the question of Bravo's future continues to kind of,
yeah. But that's the thing, it's like, if you think about Lisa Vanderpump, she's like 60 years old, she's like rich, she's successful. I don't think that she is somebody who would see being a Bravo celebrity as something that she like covets anymore.
You don't think so?
Not really. I mean, I think that for a long time, even, you know, I mean, Vanderpump Rules is still on. Like, it's not like she's like, she's going to be at the reunion. She's not like walking away. But like, I think that she will always have that like, she'll always have that label of being like an OG housewife, and Vanderpump Rules being iconic, and people will come to her restaurants in Vegas and maybe now in Tahoe and who knows where else. I don't think she needs to like keep earning it. And I don't think she like probably super cares about it. Like, I don't think she cares about BravoCon.
Would you like to see her back on some? I know this is like the question that she gets asked every time, but like, would you like to see a future of with her back on Housewives?
Probably not. I think ship has sailed. Yeah. I think that she clearly is. She's friendly with Garcelle. She clearly has no desire to like do anything in the future with Kyle. Like, I just think that is like, it, you know, and I think that at a season or two after she left, I think there could have been a moment for it, but like, I don't think that it would like accomplish what we actually need.
Well, I definitely think that this episode accomplished what I wanted, which was just another chance to connect, SBBD. You need to come back. We need to do a deep dive.
Once we have some like actual shows to talk about.
Well, true. But also, I do want to talk to you about The Valley, and I do want to talk to you about Pump Rules.
Yeah.
And so you need to come back because those are technically two shows that are airing. And so there are some things to say because contractually, that's what Bravo give us. That's what they gave us. That's what they've given us. Thou shalt give us and take it away, whatever.
Top Chef Wisconsin, I'm telling you.
Is it a good season? I haven't seen it so long.
I'm enjoying it. It's mixed.
How is Kristen doing?
Kristen's doing really well.
Okay, good.
Kristen Kish.
She was the perfect choice, honestly.
She was. And she's doing a good job. She's like, it doesn't feel like she's like doing Padma, which I think is important. Mm-hmm. But she's like filling the shoes that in the way they need to be filled, I think.
Good. Well, good for her. And maybe I'll watch. It's one of those things of like, well, I guess I have all this extra time, but I don't, because then I'm just watching other things, but I'm wishing I had new Housewives. Well,
the thing about Top Chef at this point, so they do supersized episodes every week.
Because of Last Chance Kitchen?
No. So they do hour 15 normal episodes. So with no commercials, it's like 54 minutes. And then Last Chance Kitchen is usually like 15 minutes additional to that. So it's actually like, it's a commitment to keep up with it. Yeah. But it's good. I mean, it is really good. I think, so last season, season 20 that they did was like the global all-stars, where it was like winners and finalists from Top Chef franchises all over the world. And that was sort of like, that was like really a peak of the franchise. Like, and they, on purpose, like it was just, they kind of blew it out of the water. And that was obviously Padma's last season. And this season, I think, has been sort of like an inevitable, like coming back down to earth a little bit.
Sure.
It's obviously a domestic season. It has more of like a, you know, normal contestant pool, however you take that to mean. So like there, it's been a little bit more up and down in terms of like the level and like the just, I mean, they're like in Wisconsin, which is not Paris. It's still been really interesting, really good. I think they're, I mean,
great cheese, right?
Yeah, they've done some dairy challenges. I say this all the time when I talk about Top Chef, but I haven't said it here. And I think it's worth saying. I think that Top Chef's like production team and like whoever's doing their like research and coming up with their challenges and sort of like crafting the season, I think they really, really are like the best at what they do. And so I think that this season, even if like quality wise of the cooking is maybe a little bit of a comeback down moment, like it's so creative and so interesting. And the way they tie in different cultures and, you know, different things about their locations and all of that, like they do like really, really amazing work.
It's genuinely prestige. It's like genuinely well-produced, great show.
Well, like earlier in the season, for example, they did a whole episode that was themed around Frank Lloyd Wright, the architect who famous, like worked a lot in Wisconsin. He had his sort of like studio was in Wisconsin and they went there and did a whole challenge. Like that type of stuff where it's not just like, oh, like we have cheese in Wisconsin, let's do a cheese challenge. It's like they really are thinking like outside the box in a way that makes the show feel like elevated versus just like today you're making pork, today you're making pasta. Like it's really, really, I think it's really cool. And that's part of why I keep up with it, because it's like nobody's forcing me to watch Top Chef. Like it's not Housewives.
It's not just intelligent, it's also thoughtful.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, for sure.
Listen, SBBG, I could talk to you all night, but we are going to pivot a little bit to talk about another light topic, also known as
Robert Durst, Bobby,
which it just came out of nowhere. But we'll, I literally said to you, like, we need to talk about this because I watched the season two premiere and I just rewatched it before we started recording and I got some thoughts. So in the meantime, tell the AGs where they can follow you on social, a little bit about Mention It All. Can you truly, quite literally, mention it all?
Yeah. So you can follow me at Dylan Hafer on Instagram, or you can follow at Bravo by Betches for more of this type of stuff. And then, like Sarah said, I host the Mention It All podcast. We usually are doing 3 episodes a week. So, you know, recaps of shows when Bravo decides to put things on the air. Like I mentioned today, I talked about NYC Prep. We're opening up the Bravo vault. And we have, you know, Bravo celebrity guests, other fun guests like Sarah and other people when I decide to book them. But yeah, we have some fun Bravo celebrities on the books for the next few weeks. So definitely go take a listen and stay tuned.
Incredible. And listen, speaking of giving a listen, have you joined the Andy's Girls Patreon? It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Gally, and also allegedly Threads. And SBBD, Sweet Baby Jill, thanks so much for coming back.
Thank you.
All right, guys, thanks to you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.